ਤੁਸੀਂ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋ। ਹੋਰ ਜਾਣਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰੋ sbs.com.au/punjabi ਉੱਤੇ।
SBS Radio.
Now, I've seen the film The Furnace. I think if I just had to describe one word, it would be confronting. Another word would be a very different perspective of Australia's history in the 19th century, perhaps, when the Camellias were here and probably the biggest lifeline in outback Australia. So give our listeners a taste of what was the thought process behind making this film. What are you trying to tell through your stories here?
Okay, that's a big question to begin with. Well, look, the first part of the process is getting the script right. But even before that occurs, because I had a lot of history to familiarise myself with, I sort of did the equivalent of a research thesis on the history of the Camellias and their relationship with Aboriginal people and how they serviced inland settlements that sprung up around gold discoveries and, as you say, functioned as a kind of lifeline between these settlements and, of course, the colonies. So once you kind of feel like you have a bit of a grasp on that research, which most importantly includes a lot of consultation with the various community groups, then you kind of have to wrap your head around, okay, well, how do I emotionally engage an audience into this history? How do I dramatize it? And how do I send audiences on an entertaining journey? So this history actually does get woven into, Australia's mainstream historic vernacular and mythologizing of the outback. Mm. And that was really the mission.
So it is a fictional account, but from what you're saying, it's rooted in history and real accounts of what actually occurred. So we're talking about an Afghan Camellia, but we're also talking about generally young men, middle-aged men who were here from India of Muslim and Sikh origin, who were predominantly the Camellias, also called Ghan for short. So tell us a little bit more of how you tried to get that history right and their relationships, one with the indigenous community and the other with the Caucasian or the European settlers.
Well, as you say, the Camellias have been typically labelled Ghans, inferring that they're all Afghan, but in fact, they're a multitude of people. As you say, they're from India, they're from Persia or now Iran and parts of the Middle East, and yeah, Islamic, Sikh, and even a few Hindus in the mix. And so that was one of the key things that we wanted to demystify in trying to present this history to a wide audience in the form of a movie. So I am not Muslim, Sikh or Hindu, so it was obviously critical that I speak with people who are. And so we had a raft of different cultural consultants on this film. Our primary Sikh consultant is a wonderful human called Harjit Singh, who's been engaged in the project for, God, I think 2 years or more now. And so he was reading the script and he was telling me where I got things a little bit wrong, or, you know, they were dressed like this, or this name feels a little bit too contemporary and it would be more like this if it was in the 1890s. So, I mean, that kind of information is crucial and I don't hold that in my head. So I need that very important input from people like Harjit. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the same goes for the Muslim and the Hindu components of the story as well. And then on top of that, we have the indigenous component. And so if we wanted to really depict this history as authentically as we possibly could, well, then it meant we had to feature the special relationship that the Camellias shared with Aboriginal people. And so because we were filming in Mount Magnet, which is on Yamaji Budimaya country, the decision was made that dialogue scenes between Camellia characters and Aboriginal characters would be in the Yamaji Budimaya language, which ended up being a bit more of a difficult and delicate task than we initially thought it might be.
Absolutely. I mean, that was something that I wasn't prepared for. I've probably not seen a film like that, where you hear an indigenous language spoken for a long time, but then suddenly you're peppered with a little bit of Punjabi, a bit of Pashto perhaps, and some Cantonese maybe. So it was a huge, huge project in its own. And I also especially admired how you got, you know, just the way the namaz was performed by the Muslim protagonists, and how, you know, the Sikh protagonists, you know, wore their articles of faith and prayed and, you know, stayed together. So all of that seemed to be culturally very well informed, and the exposition was great. But tell me, were the times really so violent? Because there's a lot of violence in the film.
Look, it is a story. It is a Western film, an Outback Western, as they call it. But look, sadly, it was a pretty lawless time in history. I mean, without giving any spoilers away, I can tell you that the prologue, the events of the prologue before the title screen, are based on a first-hand account. And a lot of the stuff that seems a lot more far-fetched and sort of bombastic storytelling are also based on first-hand accounts. So it's a real historic stew that I can fairly confidently say is accurate. I mean, all of these events might not have been congested into the sort of 7 days that our character's adventure spans, but these events did occur out across this vast landmass of ours during this time in history.
So what is the primary message that you're trying to convey to the audience?
For Australian audiences, it's really one of just acknowledgement. I just hope that people are able to acknowledge this history, to recognize that there were all kinds of peoples there at the frontier in this time in history. And they weren't just there, but they had an important role to play in the formation of the country. And I mean, it would just be so wonderful for migrant communities to see this film and to walk a little taller as Australians at the end of it. And you know, if I could be so lofty, it would be wonderful if this film could enact a more inclusive Australian identity. That would really be the dream. I don't know how we measure that, but I guess that's where we just sort of focus on this idea of acknowledgement and of truth telling and of just sharing this hidden history with the world, and that's got to be a step in the right direction.
How important do you think was the contribution of camellias in 19th and early 20th century Australia?
Well, there are some historians believe that if it weren't for the camellias, the inland development of Australia would have lagged by decades until the era of advanced motorized transport and aerial aviation. And so, you know, that's a huge contribution. And, you know, one has to also remember that Federation stalled a few times before it finally got political traction and really, you know, resonated in the hearts and minds of Australians. And I think my little theory is that at this vast landmass, a series of disparate colonies on either ends, you know, of the coast, west and east, you know, it was the infrastructure that the camellias laid the foundations for, the telegraph lines, the railroads, and just generally the roads through this this vast, vast land that sort of physically connected us. And only when you have that physical connectedness can this sense of being Australian and separate to England really take flight in people's hearts and minds. So I'm not a historian. That's not a historically accurate surmising, but that's my little kind of personal theory.
And finally, because you have said that almost like a thesis-like research from your end, and because we're talking about the camellias, these were largely men who came from the Indian subcontinent, and we describe them either as Muslim, Hindu or Sikh. What are the most important things that you learned about them and their culture and how they contributed and how they interacted perhaps with the Indigenous Australians and the mainstream, for lack of a better word, other Australians?
Sure. Well, I guess the sort of the sophistication of these characters, of the camellias, and you know, the very ancient spiritual sort of cultures that they come from. I mean, that I guess that's probably been the great journey of discovery for me, having not known anything about this subject matter prior to deciding to tell these stories, and it providing me an opportunity to kind of brush up against these different religious, cultural, and ethnic groups. And it's just amazing to think that these men of such culture were there in the outback among, you know, a lot of convict slave labor and a lot of working class colonial folk. You know, it's just an incredibly thing to consider. But it was really interesting learning from Harjit about Sikhism and the role of Sikhs within a community and how they carry themselves. And so it was fascinating to sort of discover repeatedly in the research that often Sikh men were the kind of foremen of camel trains, and they did lead, and often they did have a group of cameleers who came from a whole bunch of different backgrounds that worked with them, but they were sort of the leader of his bands of brothers, so to speak. Mm. And so we've sort of reflected that in the film a little bit.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Just before I let you go, how long did the film take to create from start to finish? And if there was one reason you would like to give listeners to go and watch it, what would that be?
So the film All Up has taken me about 6 years to make. We shot for 6 weeks in October, November, end of last year, and then we've been in post-production, and then, of course, navigating COVID like everyone else on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. But given it took 6 years to make, that's a pretty good reason for why I hope people go and see it. But no, more than anything, I hope people go and see it because I think it is a film that can ultimately bring us closer together, even though there is some confronting historic truths that the film unearths. I mean, it really speaks to how we are all one people and we all want the same kinds of things. And the expression that Harjit often uses is that he thinks that this film can unravel us and then weave us back together tighter than we were before. And I think that's a lovely sentiment.
Roderick, it was wonderful to talk to you. Congratulations on the film. I have to say that it was something completely unexpected when I sat in the cinema and watched it. It stayed with me for a very long time. So well done. It was an amazing film to watch, and I hope our audience also gets to see it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
SBS.
This is SBS Radio.
ਕੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਇਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਹੋਰ ਪੇਸ਼ਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਸੁਣਨਾ ਪਸੰਦ ਕਰੋਗੇ? ਐਪਲ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ, ਗੂਗਲ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ, ਸਪੋਟੀਫਾਈ ਜਾਂ ਜਿੱਥੋਂ ਵੀ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਆਪਣੇ ਪੋਡਕਾਸਟ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹੋ।